Hare Krishna. So today we'll discuss some pastimes of Krishna. Krishna, yesterday we discussed that Krishna decided to come to this earth, take birth as the eighth son of Mother Devaki and also the son of Mother Yashoda. And before Krishna appeared, so there had to be seven other children of Mother Devaki, because Krishna was supposed to be the eighth son. So it was arranged that first six sons of Devaki will be killed so that Krishna can appear very quickly, because the demigods were very much worried about Kamsa. Kamsa was creating so much disturbance. They wanted Krishna to come quickly and finish him off. So when Vasudev got married to Devaki, Devaki was the daughter of Deva. There was a king called Surasena, and Surasena had two sons, Ugrasena and Devak. Ugrasena's son was Kamsa, and Devak's daughter was Devaki. So Devaki got married to Vasudev, and when Devaki was going to her husband's house in a big procession, Kamsa himself was driving the chariot. And because Devaki was a very dear sister, very dear cousin of Kamsa, so Kamsa personally was escorting her or driving the chariot, in Vasudev and Devaki in the chariot. So at that time the demigod wanted to play some trick with Kamsa. So demigods actually can announce from the sky. Like they have a kind of a sound system that from a great distance they can make things be heard. So they don't personally have to be there, but from a great distance, say from the heavenly planet, they can make some announcement and it would be broadcasted in here. And they have some very sophisticated radio system. So they made an announcement. Kamsa, that sister of yours that you are so affectionately carrying to her husband's house, do you know that her eighth son is going to kill you? So Kamsa became very worried. So as soon as he heard that, oh yeah, that announcement actually said also that Kamsa, you the fool, you foolish Kamsa, don't you know that this Devaki's son is going to kill you? So Kamsa immediately grabbed Devaki by her hair, pulled out his sword and was about to sever her head. But then Vasudev pleaded to Kamsa and said, Kamsa, you are such a great fighter, you are a great hero, and if you kill a woman, then it will be a disgrace to you. Not only people will say bad about you, but even after death, in the you have to suffer in hell. So a person in his right senses, an intelligent man, a wise man, will never kill a woman, because to kill a woman is very, very heinous crime. And then he also told Kamsa, Kamsa, why are you so afraid of death? After all, in this material nature, our duration, our existence is temporary. Everyone is born, everyone remains only for a short while, and then he has to die. And in this world, no matter for how long one stays, it is only a short span of existence. So why are you so afraid of death? Because your death is also born along with your birth. As soon as your body is born, your death also is born. And as you were riding through the vehicle of your life, you are actually coming closer and closer to death. And that's the fact with everyone. So why should you be afraid of death? And besides that, you are not this body. You are not this body. You are a spirit soul. So in this way, Vasudev advised Kamsa. Now who is Vasudev? Vasudev is actually Shuddha Sattva. Vasudev is a personification of transcendental goodness. And Krishna is born out of Vasudev. Krishna comes out of transcendental goodness. When one transcends the modes of material nature, the mode of ignorance, mode of passion, even the mode of goodness, material goodness, then one comes to the transcendental platform, which is called Visuddha Sattva or Vasudev Sattva. So a person who is situated in Vasudev, he is transcendental to the material nature and he is situated in absolute knowledge. And when one becomes situated in that transcendental position, then only Krishna appears from within his heart. So Vasudev, a person situated on the transcendental platform, advised Kamsa in this way. And then, still then Kamsa was not convinced, and Vasudev could understand that. So then Vasudev assured Kamsa, Kamsa, don't worry, it is not Devaki who is going to kill you, it is Devaki's son who is going to kill you. So I give you my word of honor that as the sons are born out of Devaki, I will offer the sons to you. And you can do whatever you want to do with the sons. So Kamsa liked this idea. He didn't really pay much heed to philosophy. But he is a practical person. So demons are actually very practical people. So he liked this practical proposal that the sons after the birth will be given to him. And he knew that Vasudev was a very truthful person. So he knew that when Vasudev gave his word, he will stick to his commitment. So then Kamsa let Vasudev and Devaki go. And then in due course of time, a son was born. So when the son was born, it was a beautiful little son, beautiful little baby. But Vasudev, he was bound by his word of honor, so he decided to give the son to Kamsa. And Devaki was feeling bad. Naturally, the mother is attached to the son that she carried in her womb for so many months. So, but Vasudev made her understand that the word truth is the most important thing. Because religion, dharma, is situated on truth. So one should never deviate from truth. A person must be truthful. So whatever he says, he must keep to his commitment. And that is the sign of a person situated on the transcendental platform. A person situated on the transcendental platform is always very truthful. He never will lie. Actually, a person situated in the transcendental platform is so truthful that whatever he says becomes true. Even the apparent state may not be truthful. Apparent state may not be, it may not appear to be true, but whatever he says becomes true. Like if a person says, if a person situated on the transcendental platform says that the sun will rise in the west, then the sun will rise on the west. This is how Mother Nature respects a truthful person or a person who is situated on the transcendental platform. So then Devaki also understood. She is a worthy wife of Vasudev, and she said, yes, my lord, your truth must be upheld, and so take this baby. So Vasudev took the baby to Kamsa, and Kamsa was so moved by Vasudev's gesture, his honesty and truthfulness, then he said, no, Vasudev, you take the son back. You take your son back. After all, I don't have to worry about this son. There's the eighth son of Devaki who is supposed to kill you. So, I'll spare this son. So Vasudeva was very pleased and he took the son back to the house. But in the meantime, Narad Muni came to Kamsa. Narad Muni was actually sent by the demigods. The demigods wanted to hasten, wanted to accelerate the appearance of Krishna. So they thought that if the son is alive, then the next birth, the birth of next baby and the babies after, will take longer time. So they felt that let this son be killed. And then comes the, naturally, Vasudeva and Devaki will give birth to another son very quickly. So the demigod requested Narad Muni to come to Kamsa. So Narad Muni, being requested by the demigod, came to Kamsa. And Kamsa was very respectful to the sages, especially Narad Muni. So because he knew that Narad Muni was neutral. So Narad Muni told Kamsa, Kamsa, actually the announcement was the eighth son. But there was no way of knowing, counting eight from which side. Like if you count backwards, then maybe the first son is the eighth son. So don't take a chance. After all, an enemy must be destroyed. So Devaki's sons are your enemy. There's no way of figuring out which one is particularly your enemy. But as a intelligent person who cares for his own welfare, should not take any chance. So Kamsa thought, yeah, that's true. So he thanked Narad Muni for his advice and he went to Devaki's and Vasudeva's house. He grabbed the child and killed it. He just swung it in his hand and crushed it. Crushed the child on stone floor. And he also didn't want to take a chance, so he kept Devaki and Vasudeva in prison. And in this way, one after another, six sons were born and all of them were killed. Now, the question was asked that why it happened, why these innocent children, six innocent children of Devaki, had to meet with such a cruel death in the hands of Kamsa. So, then the answer was given, that Brahma told Narada. This question was asked by Narada Muni. So this is from Brahma Vaivarsha Puran. So Brahma told that long time ago Hiranyakashipu had a son. Now Hiranyaksha had a son called Kalmuni. And this Kalmuni had six sons. They are known as Sargadhas. So these Sargadhas actually prayed to Lord Brahma. And they performed austerities, great austerities, and they prayed to Lord Brahma. And out of their austerities, when Brahma became pleased, they came to him, he came to them, and then Brahma asked what they wanted. And they actually wanted to have unflinching faith in the Supreme Personality of God. So when Hiranyakashipu got to know about that, he became very angry. He felt that was transgression. They did not worship their grandfather, Hiranyakashipu. Instead, they worshipped Brahma. And they wanted at devotion to the Supreme Personality of God in Vishnu, who was Hiranyakashipu's enemy. Not only his enemy, he was the enemy of the entire Daita dynasty. Vishnu killed one after another so many demons. Hiranyakashipu was killed, Hiranyaksha was killed, then later on, actually all the demons, so many of the great demons who were actually the crest jewels of the demon families were killed by this Hari. So Hiranyakashipu became very angry with Actually, Hiranyakashipu was very angry with Hari because he killed his dear brother, Hiranyaksha. So, Hiranyakashipu cursed this fifth son that since you transgressed this etiquette, that you have to be born, you'll be killed by your own father. You'll be killed by your own father. So in the next life, Kalneni was born as Kamsa. And the six sons of Kalneni were born as the six sons of Devaki. And as a result of the curse of Hiranyakashipu, they were killed one after another by Kamsa, who was actually their own father. So, so this way, these six sons were actually killed by Kamsa. Then the seventh son was Ananta himself, Bala, as in he appeared in the womb of Mother Devaki, and when he was 6 months old, he was transported from Devaki's womb to Rohini's womb. And Rohini at that time was in Nandagram. She was being protected by Nanda Maharaj, because when Kamsa started to persecute Vasudev's family, then Vasudev actually sent his wife to different places. And Rohini was sent to Nanda Maharaj's house. And Balaram was born as Rohini's son, the seventh son of Devaki. And Kamsa got to know that Devaki had a miscarriage. But actually, it was because the fact was that Shankarshan was transported from Devaki's womb to Rohini's womb. Then Krishna was born in the Sachinandan Maharaj ki. You have to sit here. You can hear better here. So when Krishna was born, Krishna appeared in the middle of the night. And by the arrangement of Yogamaya, at that time, everyone around became fast asleep. And when Krishna appeared, he appeared in his four-armed form. And Mother Devaki and Vasudev offered prayers to Krishna. But at the same time, they were afraid that Kamsa will kill this beautiful little child. So at that time, Krishna transformed himself into his two-armed form and as a little baby, and he told Vasudev to carry him, to transport him to Nandagram, in the house of Nanda Maharaj. So Vasudev took Krishna in a basket, and baby Krishna in a basket, and carried Krishna on his head. And miraculously, at that time, not only all the sentries became fast asleep, but the doors automatically, their chains from their body became loose, fell off. And, oh, there's another important thing, important consideration. Kamsa was so worried about the eighth son of Devaki that Kamsa tried to prevent the birth of Krishna, the eighth son of Devaki. So in the prison cell, Kamsa actually tied them up with iron chains in two corners so that they could not come in contact with each other. Their hands and legs were tied. and so that they could not unite and give birth to the child. But by the divine arrangement of Krishna, he appeared to, even though they were separated physically, but as Prabhupada explained in Krishna book, that Krishna actually appeared in Vasudeva's heart, and then from Vasudeva's heart he was transferred to Devaki's heart, and from Devaki's heart Krishna actually appears. So Vasudeva, the chain that he was tied up with, the chain automatically loosened and fell off. The prison door opened up and he found all the sentries were fast asleep. And actually Kamsa was so worried about Krishna's birth that he kept so many guards all around the prison house that no one excepting the bird could actually fly over the prison. No one without the proper permission or without proper recommendation could come anywhere near the prison house. And the sentries used to scream and shout all the time, so much so that it used to appear that there was a thunderclap, a continuous thunderclap in that area. But surprisingly, at that time, all these sentries became fast asleep. And at that time, there was a torrential rain, as if the sky split open and water was pouring down. Now, in order to protect Krishna, Ananta Shesha appeared there, and with his hood, he made a kind of an umbrella above Vasudeva's head to give protection to Krishna. So Vasudeva was walking with Ananta Shesha behind him, with his hood spread open to give protection from the rain. When Vasudeva came to the river, he found that the river was overflowing, and it was and the waves were and the currents were extremely strong, and he could not he became very worried, how is he going to cross this river with this little baby? But then he saw a very strange sight. He saw one fox, one jackal just appeared there, and the jackal started to walk over the river as if the water was so shallow in some part of the river. So this was by Jogamaya's arrangement. Vasudeva was guided to walk through the river. And Vasudeva, when he saw that the jackal was walking like that, so he thought maybe this part of the river, it is shallow. So he stepped in and he found, yes, there was hardly any water there. It was only ankle deep. So he started to walk across the river Jamuna. But when he came to the middle of the river, then all of a sudden the baby slipped out of his hand. Now Vasudeva, he lost his life. His life there, when it happened, his life there left his body in anxiety. Now what will happen? Where shall I find my child? Because in such a turbulent river, the child must have been carried away. And so he started to look around everywhere and couldn't find him. And he was in extreme anxiety, he was crying, And then he found the baby. Just the baby was returned back to him. Actually what happened is, Jamuna, when she found this good opportunity of play with Krishna, she snatched Krishna out of out of Vasudeva's hand and wanted to have some fun with him, wanted to play with him. So she played with Krishna for some time and then returned him back to Vasudeva. Then Vasudeva went across the river onto the other side of the river to Nanda Maharaj's house, and in Nanda Maharaj's house he found that they was Mother Jasoda, everyone in the house was fast asleep. And Mother Jasoda just gave birth to a little baby. Baby daughter. And as I mentioned yesterday, Jasoda actually gave birth to a son and a daughter. But it was dark, so Vasudev did not see the sun. In darkness, in dim light, he did not see the sun. He just saw the daughter, and he placed his Krishna, Vasudev Krishna, on the bed, and he picked up the baby daughter and he walked away. And this Vasudev Krishna merged in the body of Jasoda Nandan Krishna. They became one. Actually, in the body of Krishna, all the incarnations are there. Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when Krishna comes, all the incarnations of Krishna also come in his body, because they all are there in Krishna's body, in Krishna's person. So he did not see this sun. Vasudev did not see the sun. And Mother Jasoda also, from the labor pain, she was so unconscious, she was fast asleep, that she did not also remember whether she gave birth to one son and one daughter, or just one son. So it was an arrangement of Yogamaya. By Yogamaya actually makes one forget. Maya means illusion. Now there are two types of illusion. One kind of illusion takes us away from Krishna, that is called Mahamaya. And the other kind of illusion actually brings us close to Krishna. That illusion is in order to bring us close to Krishna. And that is called Yogamaya. So this was by the arrangement of Yogamaya that Mother Jasoda could not remember. So in the morning when she woke up, she saw this little baby, and she felt that she gave birth to just one son. So in the meantime, Vasudev took the daughter of Mother Jasoda to the prison of Nanda Maharaj, and as soon as he went and kept the baby next to Mother Devaki, then immediately the prison doors locked up again, their chains came back to their hands and feet, and all the sentries woke up with the sound of the cry of the newborn baby. So they immediately ran to Kamsa. And Kamsa was in a terrible condition. For the last so many days, he was just seeing just severed heads. Whenever he would close, he would see some head, just head without the body, head that has been severed from the body is just roaming around everywhere. And he used to hear all kinds of terrible sounds. So he was in great anxiety. And when he heard that the son was born, his hair stood up. Not in ecstasy, but out of fear. And that now his death has appeared. So Kamsa immediately ran to the prison. But when he went there, he found that it was his daughter. There was no the son. Devaki gave birth to a daughter. But still he did not want to take a chance. He just took the baby, although Devaki was pleading to him that Kamsa, please don't kill. After all, you say, the announcement was that a son will kill you, my eighth son will kill you. But this is a daughter, so you don't have to be afraid of a woman, of a little girl. So please spare her, and I promise that I will give this daughter of mine in marriage to your son. So please spare her. But Kamsa was so cruel that he picked up the baby and he tried to smash the baby on the stone floor. But surprisingly, the baby slipped out of his hand and went up in the sky and appeared in her eight-armed form, the form of Jogamaya. And she told Krishna, Kamsa, that Kamsa, do you think you'll be able to kill me? No one is able to kill me. But let me tell you that very soon you're going to be killed. Because your death has already appeared. He has already appeared and he is growing up in Gopal. So, saying that, she disappeared. It has been described that after that, Jogamaya went to Vindha mountain, and in the Vindha mountain, she is worshipped, and she resides there with her associate, and there she killed two demons called Sumbha and Nisumbha. So, Kamsa then started his persecution. First he felt very repentant. He told Devaki and Vasudev that, "I am sorry that I caused so much distress to you." He actually fell at Devaki's feet and was begging forgiveness. And Devaki, although Kamsa was her brother, Devaki told Kamsa, like a mother, Devaki told Kamsa, "Kamsa, you know, ultimately everything happens according to our destiny, and we can't really change the course of our destiny, so don't worry about it. And whatever has happened, has happened." So this is how forgiving the devotees are. And you can see how unreliable, how cruel and how unreliable the demons are. So Kamsa, although he was so repentant and he fell at Devaki's feet, but the next moment when he went back and met with his friends and associates, they actually advised him, "Kamsa, since your son, death has born somewhere, so you start killing all the children that has been born within 10 days time." And so Kamsa started his persecution. He sent his men everywhere, and all the babies that were born within 10 days time were killed. So in the meantime, when Krishna was only 7 days old, Kamsa sent Putana to kill Krishna to the house. So called Putana and told her to go to the house of Nanda Maharaj and kill Nanda Maharaj's son, because he heard that Nanda Maharaj also gave birth to a son. So Putana went. And Putana was a hideous looking witch. So she realized that Nanda Maharaj's palace is so well guarded that she'll have difficulty in entering in that house. So she transformed herself with a mystic power into a beautiful woman. And she was an extremely beautiful woman, and she had a lotus in her hand, and she just walked into the house. And after Krishna's birth, many, many people were coming to Nanda Maharaj's house. Some were invited and some were uninvited. And many were uninvited. So, actually Jiva Goswami said in Gopal Temple that just as when the lotus blooms, the bumblebees, the bees, don't wait for invitation. They automatically become attracted. So when Krishna was born, everyone was just coming to see Krishna. So Putana also took advantage of that. Actually, when Krishna is born, the devotees come to see. But the demons actually disguise themselves sometimes as a devotee and try to take advantage. So Putana came as a very beautiful woman, and with a lotus in her hand, and she was, when everyone saw her so beautiful, they thought maybe this is the goddess of fortune. Lakshmi Devi herself has appeared, because Lakshmi Devi carries a lotus in her hand. So, and they thought that Lakshmi Devi has come to see her husband, who has just born in the house of Nanda Maharaj. So at that time Krishna was 7 days old. So this lady just walked right into the house, in the inner chambers of the house, palace, right? And usually the inner part of the house, not everyone is allowed to enter. This inner part of the house is meant only for the women. And unless, and in the Vedic culture, the women were kept away from outer contact. No one could actually associate with a respectable Vedic woman unless he was a very close associate, close friend or family member. So, but Putana, because of her beauty, she enchanted everyone in such a way that everyone just let her go. No one questioned, because everyone thought that this must be an extremely special personality, maybe Lakshmi Devi herself. So Putana came and asked Mother Jasoda, "I have come to see your child. I heard that you gave birth to a child." And then she started to caress the child. She said, "Oh, such a beautiful baby." And she told Mother Jasoda that I am feeling such affection for this little child that my breasts have become filled with milk. And so saying that, she just offered her breast to Krishna. And Krishna at that time closed his eyes. So there's a understanding that there are many reasons why Krishna closed his eyes. So one reason why Krishna closed his eyes is that he has to kill a woman which is actually not shastric, which is not bona fide. Like, one should not kill a woman. So he was actually doing something inappropriate. So he closed his eyes. He did not want to see the face of such a sinful person as Putana. Therefore he closed his eyes. And Krishna also felt guilty that this person is giving me her breath, but unfortunately I have to kill her. So Krishna closed his eyes. So Krishna closed his eyes, and Putana already started feeling something strange. He felt that this baby is not an ordinary person. This baby appears to be like a blazing fire. And Putana could understand that she was plunging into something terrible. But still, she could not stop from giving her breath to Krishna. So she offered Krishna her breath. And Krishna also innocently started to suck her breath. And then Putana felt that this boy was actually sucking her life air out of her body. So Putana tried to drop the child and run away. But she could not. The body was clinging to her breast. And the baby was clinging to her breast. And he was innocently sucking her breast, and he sucked her life air out of her body. And with a terrible sound, Putana ran out of Nanda Maharaja's palace, and she left her body, gave up her body. And then her real body, real demon body, appears. So that body has been described as 8 miles long, 4 miles wide, and 1 mile high. So it was a huge body of a witch. And it said to go around the body, it takes 1-2 hours. So Krishna, and then everyone started to wonder what happened to the baby. And then finally they found that this witch was dead. Putana was dead, and Krishna was laying on her chest. So they all, the gopis, got Krishna back. So the question was asked by Parikshit Maharaj that how come Putana, then it was told that at that time a celestial chariot came to take Putana. Putana's spirit soul. So, and Putana was actually taken back to the spiritual side, Golok Vrindavan, and there she got the position of Krishna's mother. So the question was asked, Putana, who actually came to kill Krishna? How could she get the position of Krishna's mother? The answer has been given that when the last thought that one gets at the time of leaving his body, accordingly he gets his next body. So Putana gave Krishna her dress and she left her body with Krishna feeding from her breast. So the last thought was she was breastfeeding Krishna. Therefore Krishna got Putana got a spiritual body. Now another understanding is that because Krishna because Putana offered Krishna her breast, Krishna just accepted that part of it. He did not accept the part that Putana came to kill. He simply accepted. Krishna is so merciful, so grateful, that he only takes the brighter side. He does not take the darker side. So he accepted that here is a person who gave me her breath. So I am indebted to her. So she is, therefore Krishna gave her the position of his mother. Now the question was, also a question arose that how this personality Putana, who was actually a witch, received such a benediction, such a wonderful spiritual benefit. And the answer to that is, in her previous life, Putana was the daughter of Bali Maharaj. And her name was Ratnamala. So this daughter of Bali Maharaj, when she saw Vamanadev coming to Bali Maharaj, and she was so moved by the beautiful little Brahmana that she developed a tremendous metaphor, this baby, for this boy, and she felt that, oh, if I could get this boy as my son, then I would have offered him. It would have been so wonderful to offer him my breast for feeding. So this way, she desired towards Vamandev. But then, when Vamandev deceived Bali Maharaj, took everything away from him, and sent him to Patala Loka, then Ratnamala, you know that Shapata, who had mystic power, and he could transform himself into anything. That's, as I said, like the demons actually have this mystic power, that they can transform themselves into any form. So Trinavartasura came as a whirlwind. He came to Gokul and he thought that Putana got killed and Shakatashu got killed because they had a form, visible form. But I will come so without any form, so that Krishna, this, no one will be able to recognize me and no one will be able to kill me. So thinking that, he took the form of a whirlwind and that the demon was coming to cause some problem for him. Krishna did something to me, the demon is coming to kill me. So if I am in my mother's lap, very heavy. And Mother Yashoda all of a sudden found that the little baby was so heavy that she could carry the baby on her. So she dropped the baby on the ground. Then right at that time Srinivasa came and everything became filled with dust and dry grass. Srina means dry grass. And Avarta means a whirlwind. So he came as a whirlwind, filled the place with dust, and dry grass, stone chips and sand. So the whole place, no one could actually see anything. And he took Krishna and took him high up in the sky. And Krishna first enjoyed the joyride of flying in the sky at the expense of Srinivasa. So, and he was holding on to Srinivasa's neck. And then all of a sudden Srinivasa felt that this boy was appearing to be very heavy, and the weight was increasing, and he felt that it was impossible to carry that boy. And then he felt that this boy, and he wanted to get rid of that boy, but Krishna was holding on to his neck in such a way that he couldn't release himself from the clasp of Krishna, or from the grip of Krishna. And Krishna squeezed him in the neck so hard that Srinivasa left his body. And he fell on top of a big stone, and his body was smashed. And all of a sudden everyone in Vrindavan heard a terrible sound of something very, very heavy falling from great height. And they already they were in great anxiety. What happened to Krishna? What happened to Krishna? But when they came out and found that there was this body of a terrible demon, and Krishna was on his chest. So, in this way, they always used to feel that Krishna is being protected by the demigods or by the Supreme Personality of God. So they were all very thankful to Vishnu that they were protecting their beloved Krishna. So this way, Srinivasasura was killed by Krishna. So it has been also, the question may arise, who is Srinivasasura? Srinivasasura was a Gandharva in his previous life called Sahasraksha. And one day this Sahasraksha was playing with his wife in a lake. And it was something like Nala Kuvera and Manigris. He was so intoxicated with his wife that he lost his consciousness. And at that time Durvasa was coming there with his 9 lakh disciples. So when, and Sahasraksha did not notice Durvasa. So Durvasa got very angry, and he cursed him along with his wife that he will be born as a demon because of his demoniac behavior. So demons are very fond of sex life, and due to their excessive attachment to sex life, they don't have any other consideration. They don't remember anything. They don't care for anything. So he said that you will be born as a demon. And that Sahasraksha was Srinivasasura. But when Sahasraksha was cursed like that, then he started to plead to Durvasa to forgive him. So Durvasa said that, look, since I cursed you, it's bound to happen. But after 1 lakh years, that means after 100,000 years, you'll receive the mercy of Krishna. You'll be killed by Krishna, and thus you'll be delivered. So that way, the Sahasraksha became Srinivasasura and got delivered by Krishna. Then, so when Putana, Shakatasura and Srinivasasura came, and also, so at that time, so many disturbance was there that Upananda, Nanda Maharaj's brother, called for a meeting of all the cowherd folk. So they assembled and they started to discuss that something must be done, because this place appears to be extremely dangerous, and so many demons are coming and creating so much disturbance. So let's leave this place. Let's go to some other place. And in that meeting, it was decided that they would go to Vrindavan. So they left Gokul and went to Vrindavan. So there's a long description in Krishna book how they all went to Vrindavan. So I don't want to repeat that. But I want to mention some interesting features in the trip to Vrindavan. When they arrived in Vrindavan, so there were some nice discussions also between Krishna and the gopis. Krishna was a little baby at that time. So Krishna was asking his mother, "Mother, where are you going?" So the mother said, "That we are going to Vrindavan." So he said, "Where is Vrindavan?" No, he said, "And when will you go back home?" Krishna asked, "When will you go back home?" So Mother Yashoda said, "Wherever we go, that becomes our home." So this is our home. We are traveling with our home. And wherever we cook, that place is our home. So there are ovens and pots being carried in this big bullock cart. And those bullock carts where the cooking is done, and these are actually ours. So then Krishna says, "Oh, that's very nice. So where, but you said we are going to Vrindavan. Where is Vrindavan?" So Mother Yashoda, no, at that time Mother Rohini said that Vrindavan is on the bank of Yamuna. So he said, "Oh, we were just near Yamuna. We crossed Yamuna. So why we are going to Yamuna again?" So then Mother Rohini explained that Yamuna actually flows winding her way. So we crossed the Yamuna near, and now we are going to the other part of Yamuna in Vrindavan. So this way, Krishna was talking to them, talking to Mother Yashoda and Mother Rohini. And then Krishna was very pleased with their answers. And then when they came to Vrindavan, they stopped at night there. And probably you remember how they came. There is this Shaktikara, near our temple is a place called Shaktikara. Shaktikara Road, where the car, so when you come from Delhi by car, the car turns and Shaktikara, and that road that leads to our temple. That is the way how they actually came from Mathura, from Nandagram. So there, Krishna said, "Oh, you know, this place is filled with palaces. I can see so many wonderful palaces." Then others said, "Well, we don't see the palaces." He said, "Well, these palaces are there, but unless you have the divine eye, you won't be able to see." So maybe tomorrow morning, you'll develop the appropriate vision to see this palace. So they didn't pay much heed to little boys' talks. So they thought, he's just blabbering away. So that night, they all went to sleep. So that time, Vishwakarma appeared. When everyone was asleep, Vishwakarma, you know who is Vishwakarma? Vishwakarma is the engineer of the demigods. And so Vishwakarma appeared, riding on his elephant, and he has his chisels and hammers with all his entourage. And also the Jakshas, the different followers of Kubera, came with Vishwakarma carrying all kinds of precious things from Kubera's treasury, the treasury of India. And throughout the night they built different palaces. And all those palaces, huge palaces with innumerable rooms, all these rooms were studded with most precious gems. The floors were made with most precious stones. And then the palaces were surrounded by canals so that no one can intrude into the house or trespass. And there was a huge gate. And on the gate, different names were inscribed in gold. The names of, like, there was a palace of Nanda Maharaj, there was a palace of Upananda, Sunanda, and there was the palace of Rishabhanu. So all these palaces were there. So in the morning when they woke up, they found that, as Krishna told them, that there were many, many palaces
And they
opened their eyes and they found the whole place is filled with palaces. And to their great amazement, they found that the different palaces were actually meant for different families. And their names were inscribed in gold on the gates. So they very joyfully took possession of the palaces. So although we know that Vrindavan is a forest, but actually Vrindavan is filled with palaces. But there are forests also where Krishna goes to tend the cows. So, okay, let me stop now. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. I wonder whether I'll be able to finish the course in 5 more days. Because today, what I wanted to cover, I covered only 1/3 of it. Anyway, let me see. Yes, you have a question? What's that?
Krishna takes the
concept of Shakta Sura. Who the demon was? I haven't found the identity of that demon. Well, actually, there are different... Anyway, no, I don't know. Like, it was a demon, an associate of Krishna, who took the form of a calf and wanted to kill Krishna by dropping on him, but before it could drop, Krishna kicked him off. Yeah.
On the TV, there is Krishna, there is the whole dark, but I think on here, it would not be the classic.
Yeah.
Is this for them, what is covered by the yoga mind?
Yeah, right.
And now for us, when we went to Krishna, we went also through Rishalakshmi, we went through Sindhara, so we could also not be something that was it for us, what covered the
yes, that's the right understanding. It's covered by Mahamaya, but in due course of time, the Mahamaya will become Yogamaya and reveal itself. No, then Yogamaya will let us see. This Mahamaya will become Yogamaya and show us. She gave birth to 8 daughters. I don't know. Yeah.
When the council was doing persecution, he ordered to kill all the children for 10 days. And later on, he was sending demons to kill particularly Krishna. So how is he supposed to know that Krishna is going to kill him?
Yeah. Actually, when Yogamaya came, went up on the sky, she told that he is in the Gokul. And then Narad Muni also told him that Vasudeva's son has been transferred into Nanda Maharaj's house. So this is how he got it. He knew that the son of Nanda Maharaj is actually the son of Vasudeva.
Why did he
even
go to kill
him?
Why did he even go to kill him himself? Why to kill him?
Because he was a king, he thought that he'll get the job done by somebody else. Yes. Yeah, that's right. The Brahmanas, whatever they say, that comes true. Yeah. Well, he also was a Brahmana in a way, and he also was a very powerful person. And Hiranyakashipu's situation also was beyond his material nature. So, to be situated in Brahma Bhuta, or rather in that platform, beyond mystic transcendental platform, is can also be the situation of a demon. A demon also, you know, from that position can become inimical to the Supreme Personality of God. In the Brahma, you see, like beyond this material nature is Brahma Jyoti. Now that platform, one can be a devotee from that platform, one can also be a demon from that platform. One can become inimical to the Lord and end up becoming a demon from that platform. So we have to understand that that these demons have great power. You know, like they are sometimes their curse also comes through. And another consideration is in Satya Yuga, everyone was actually so powerful that whatever they would say would come true. See, but in Kali Yuga, everyone has become so sinful. Whatever they say, it doesn't come true. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Right. It's in Vinda Mountain. Vindhya. Vinda Mountain. It's in central India. Mirzapur? No. No, it's for the south. Oh, Jogamaya's Murti is everywhere. You'll find so many of them in Calcutta. Oh, I see. Now, Vindhachal is in central part of India.
So was the only three months pregnant?
Yeah. Well, I mean, actually, there is no pregnancy as such. You know, with the Lord and His incarnation's birth, you know, is not like human beings' birth. They just appear out of their own species. The Lord allows His devotees to develop some mellow life, the way a mother feels towards her son. So Lord allows Devaki or Rohini to feel that way, that they were pregnant and they're carrying the son. And that attachment is actually to the Supreme Lord. And this is how they develop that. And the Lord allows them to develop that relationship. Krishna allows Jogamaya, just like an actor allows the director to dictate the role, train him up in the role, and when he's playing the role, he forgets about everything. Similarly, when Krishna plays this pastime, he forgets about his original identity and he becomes that, the
the person that the role that he's playing. But we have to understand that this is all transcendental. It's beyond our, it's achinta, it's beyond our mental conception. Yes,
I remember 2 years or 1.5 years that you gave a lecture on in Taliban, how Balaram kills Jinnu Sasura, and you explained in the context during that lecture that if one hears these leelas, a certain anatta will vanish within the heart. I think you asked Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I always wanted to know, how does it happen? What is the active principle, or how is this taking place?
The first principle is that they are transcendental sound vibrations. You know, like they have some inconceivable potency with sound vibrations. So when one hears them with proper oral reception, they work. This transcendental sound vibration works in its own way. Also, it clears our consciousness. Like when we hear, then we, with the understanding awakens, understanding dawns within our heart. So that is how they work. Like we can see that all the scriptures, I mean all, most of the descriptions of the scriptures describe the benefit of that. Like if one just hears, he becomes purified of this sin. That's why it's very important that we listen to different pastimes of the Lord, different narrations of the scriptures. That you, I mean, one very simple thing I can say that the ultimate consideration is the interest that it generates. For example, you know, like you will notice sometimes when the devotees are so interested to read all kinds of mundane stuff, like, you know, magazines and things, and so many mundane books. But when you get absorbed in reading the scriptures, then you lose all interest for reading those mundane scriptures. But it's not going to happen just by chance or automatically. We have to get absorbed in the scriptures, and then only we'll get the taste of the scriptures, and that's how we'll be able to give up the attachment to the mundane world. We can't think that, well, since we become a devotee, it's going to happen automatically. No, it doesn't happen automatically. We have to make an effort. Like, we see, like, in spite of being devotees, you know, we still have so many mundane attachments. And we are still harboring those attachments because we did not develop the taste for hearing Krishna's pastimes or hearing, you know, the understanding of the scriptures. And that's why I feel like, I mean, so many devotees lose the taste and go away. You know, if you don't get the higher taste, then you have to go somewhere for some taste. If you don't get the spiritual taste, you will run for the material taste. That's why it's very important that we get absorbed in scripture. Is it all right?
Yes, yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Krishna.
Why
we read them? Yes, because you see, our brains are so full of garbage. That first we have to clean the garbage, and that those other chapters of other cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam is designed to clear out the garbage. And then, when the garbage is clean, then we have become qualified to enter into the 10th canto. And the 10th canto there is the description of Krishna's pastime. But if you enter into Krishna's pastime with the garbage in the mind,
then you won't be able to understand Krishna consciousness. Now one will think that these pastimes of Krishna are like ordinary dealings between a man and a woman, and he will commit a great offense. But when you get to get through those chapters, then you get to know that we are not this body, we are spirit soul, and Krishna is the supreme spirit. And this way, when we enter into 10th canto after studying the 9 other cantos properly, then you become considerably qualified to understand the 10th canto. Yeah. But one becomes qualified to visit Vrindavan. Really, I understand the question. See, Chaitanya Charitamrita is higher in the sense Chaitanya Charitamrita explains the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself came to give Krishna. Right? Therefore, this dhamma of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also the munificent. This dhamma also gives Krishna. So if you get the mercy of the dham, then you become qualified to get Krishna in Vrindavan. You understand? Not that you have to go to Vrindavan and then get the mercy of Vrindavan and then come here. No, that aspect works the other way around. But Chaitanya Charitamrita has been considered to be higher, because if you don't understand the principle of Krishna consciousness from Srimad Bhagavatam, it will be difficult to understand the mercy of Chaitanya. If you don't know who Krishna is, you won't be able to understand the mercy of Chaitanya, who is giving you Krishna. Right? But Mahaprabhu is very munificent, and by his mercy, one gets Krishna. Therefore, to understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you have to first understand Krishna. Therefore, study Srimad Bhagavatam first, and then come to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because in Srimad Bhagavatam you get to know who Krishna is. And then you get to know how Krishna came as a devotee to give Krishna. Attractions to one pastimes or many pastimes, that's not important, but attraction is the important part. Like there is a
there is a consideration, you know, Sharashichi and Upasanama, Mantra Upasanama. See, Mantra Upasanama meditation is depending upon one mantra. And just that mantra reveals one particular pastime. So that is one way of being attached to Krishna. Meditating on one mantra and one pastime. But when our brains are so scattered, then we won't be able to meditate on one pastime. So then we have to actually think of many pastimes. Because our mind is fickle. It cannot be steadily fixed on one point. Until that time, it is preferable that we think of, do we remember or meditate on many pastimes. But then finally, if you are able to fix your mind on one pastime, but ultimately, that attachment must become spontaneous. It should spontaneously one feel attached.
In Vaishnavita series of Taisha Hiti report, he describes how Bhaktivinoda Thakur took all the demons in Krishna's pastime and described them metaphorically, like false gurus or somebody trying to kill the guru. So if these three demons you described tonight, can you give them metaphorical description?
Maybe I'll do it tomorrow? One day I'll do that. I'll actually describe all the demons, what they actually said. Yeah, I had it on my chart.
Yeah.
Yes,
what is it?
That's Prabhupada's mercy. Prabhupada actually presented Krishna book in such a way that the same canto becomes available to people, but he explains it in such a way through his Bhaktivedanta purport that even a layman can understand the objective of Krishna's consciousness. Yeah, a pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada can do that.
Can you please tell us how during our visit to the festival and to the Mayapur part of the festival we should behave in order to achieve the maximum of benefit from our visit at the Holy Dham? We have heard that we have to avoid the 10 offenses against the Holy Dham. We have read them every day. Could you just from your just give a few tips, because I think you have you are living at the Dham and you are Dham Vashi, you can tell us what we should do to obtain the mercy of of Lord Chaitanya and the Holy Dham.
Yeah, the most important thing is to remember that this is a Dham, this is not an ordinary thing. We have to understand that this is non different in spiritual time. This is, we are in the spiritual sky. So that understanding is very important. And when you're in the spiritual sky, what you must do? We must use everything for Krishna's service, not for our concern. So that means when you're in the Dham, you should give up the tendency to be very like, actually, enjoyment is there. Spiritual sky is not devoid of enjoyment. But that enjoyment is included with Krishna and the So whatever we do, we must do it with understanding that it's selfish. And whatever we are doing is meant for Krishna. I'll take a last question. I have a few questions. Yes.
You know,
you No, this
I mean, Vasudeva and Nanda Maharaj were worried that Kamsa may get to know. But Kamsa already got to know, you know, through some other source, like Narada Muni and Jogamaya. So that is, that may have, that's the same culture.
That's why
Nanda Maharaj
didn't know that
Kamsa.
They didn't know that
Kamsa knew.
Even though
Kamsa already had. So I'll stop now. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.